Good morning. Welcome to St Alfred's. My name is Peter McPherson, the Senior Minister of St Alfred's. If I haven't met you, I look forward to meeting you after the service. Well, today on Father's Day, it's fitting that we thank our Heavenly Father for what we've learnt during this 40 days of purpose. And I want to thank everyone who sent me in stories telling me things that you've learnt. I've read all of them, and I'll be using some of them in sort of excerpts today. After I speak, there'll be a short opportunity if anyone would like to say something, a little story, a little testimony about anything that you've learnt. And the reason you'd be saying that is to encourage the rest of us that God has actually been at work, and it might encourage us to hear how that's happened for you. And also at the end, we'll take up our celebration gift. So I want to ask the question this morning, what have we learnt? And I'm going to make some suggestions from my perspective. First of all, we've learnt that it's all about God. If you don't remember anything else from your reading of The Purpose-Driven Life, I hope you'll remember the opening line, which is, it's not about me. We've learnt that the purpose of life is not about us, it's about God. It's about discovering God, about learning about God, believing God, and following God. And that's been one of the key things that we've learnt. We've learnt that this means worship. Loving God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. But that can look like all sorts of different things, and lots of us worship God in different ways. You were made by God, and He has made you to love Him for eternity, and to live with Him forever. Now, secondly, this might surprise you, but one of the things I think we've learnt is that we like eating together. This has been pretty obvious through the last 40 days from my perspective. About 165 of you turned up to eat breakfast and listen to a very thought-provoking talk by Tim Costello. Many of you then stayed behind for the barbecues that we had early in August, and while you were chatting and deepening your fellowship, you were eating 13 kilograms of sausages, 6 kilograms of onions, 25 loaves of bread, and an unknown number of salads. I've heard that small groups have had fun eating too. Here's a little story from one. Our group has gone really well. Last night we ate roast corn brought by one of the husbands. It was whole pieces of sweet corn wrapped in foil and roasted in a charcoal oven. They came in hot and were eaten immediately. They tasted sweet and slightly smoky. They were absolutely delicious. Our own small group finished on Thursday night with a special celebration dinner at our home. But to cap it all off, I was astounded that last night 380 of you came for the celebration dinner. And what a wonderful occasion that was. What does that tell us about our church? It tells us we like eating. We like fun, we like hospitality, we like celebrating, we like spending time together. And all of this is quite biblical, you'll be reassured to know. Jesus spent a lot of time eating with people. And in the Bible, heaven is pictured like a banquet or a feast or like a wedding supper. And one of Rick Warren's most common sayings, one of his favourite sayings, is life is just preparation for eternity. So in this regard, some of you have been putting in some pretty serious preparation for the eternal banquet. Well done. But seriously, all this eating is a little sign of how we've been learning about fellowship. We've been reminded that life is lived in community, that we live life together. And many of you have experienced a little taste of that through the small groups and the plugged-in groups that met on Fridays. You'll see some PowerPoint pictures coming up of some of those groups. There have been, apparently, 42 small groups that have been meeting. Don estimates that there have been around 320 people in those small groups. And on Friday nights, Kieran tells me there have been about 10 teenage groups that have been meeting for Plugged In, and that adds up to about 55 teenagers on average. So when you total that all up, that's about 52 groups with 370 to 380 people. That's a lot of people, isn't it? who are getting together, meeting and talking. And it shows me how we've learnt how important it is to develop good Christian friendships, where we can talk together, pray together, learn from one another, learn from the Bible, read, discuss, share life together, care and support one another. And yes, even to eat together. Third thing that I've learnt as I've watched us go through this is that spiritual growth takes effort. We've learnt that if we want to grow spiritually, we actually have to do some things. It won't just happen by osmosis. And it won't, interestingly, it won't happen just by coming to church. Many of you have been making a lot of effort. You've been reading, you've been memorizing scripture, you've been talking and praying together here at church and at your small groups. You've been coming regularly to church and sharing your life. Interestingly, all 500 key rings have disappeared, and I think they've become collector's items now, but there are still some of the memory verses available, as Darren said. About 400 purpose-driven life books have been taken and given out, and about 390 study guide books have been distributed. And a further 20 copies of the book and study guide in Chinese have been taken. Many parents have been helping their children grow spiritually by bringing them regularly to church and then taking them to Sunday school. And they've been learning by reading the little study booklets that Don arranged specifically for children. Now, here's what happened in one family as they discussed one of the readings from the 40 Days children's booklet. Our family talked about all of us being parts of the body of Christ. Once we'd covered what it meant, the conversation then turned to, well, so what part would each of us be in this family? We decided that child number one would be a tongue, because he says encouraging things regularly. Dad would be the brain for thinking things through. And child number two would be a nerve, relaying messages up and down the body, because this child loves running. Child number one, after some thought, said, "Mummy, I know what you would be. You would be a loving arm." Isn't that lovely? What a beautiful little moment of spiritual growth for that family. But not all spiritual growth is so sweet as that. Here's a story from an adult. "Hi. Last Tuesday was a bad day, or should I say, I chose to make last Tuesday a bad day. Pressure at work, neglecting my time with God for a few days, and some serious news of bad health in the family, and I went down fast. I want to apologize," and this apology was really going to his small group leaders. "I want to apologize for my lack of participation in our small group on Tuesday evening. My wife gave me a serve for this on the way home. I behaved badly and I'm sorry. So I got back to listening to God and caught up with my 40 Days of Purpose reading on Wednesday with some reluctance, but it wasn't until this morning on my way to work that I stopped at the lights in Mitcham and gave my day over to Jesus, still not feeling the best. Well, 2 hours later, a man," he names the man, "a man, one of our office builders, whom I hardly know, took me aside and told me that he and his wife of 15 years had just separated. For 20 minutes we talked about how God could help us through troubles. He's not a Christian yet. An hour later he came back to me and asked about church and attendance and the future. All of this without me initiating anything. So I want to say again how sorry I am to you and to God, and to ask your forgiveness." Now, there's a very honest example of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Spiritual growth isn't sort of a straightforward line trajectory of get better every day. It often involves stops and starts, making mistakes, putting things to right, confessing, saying sorry, and then going forward. But it requires honesty and the sort of integrity we've just seen in that little story. God won't give up on you, so if the going gets tough, keep on going. As we learnt in the 40 Days book, even the snail reached the ark by persevering. Fourth thing I learnt was that Christians help other people. There have been so many examples of this throughout the 40 days period that I couldn't list them all. But last night at the dinner, I thanked many of the people who've so willingly helped us over this 40 days period, and I want to reiterate my thanks to the following teams and ask for you to show your appreciation at the end. So let me say thank you to the Creative Arts team, to the Tim Costello Breakfast team, to the prayer teams, to the music teams, to the technical teams, to the small group leaders and hosts, to the ministry and mission affair team, to the drama team, well done, we're glad you found your purpose, to the Sunday morning children's team who are out there working at the moment, to the youth ministry team, to the celebration dinner team who did such a fantastic job last night, to the One Community Church team who came and helped us with our children last night, to the staff team, and to the 40 Days of Purpose leadership team. Would you show your appreciation for all of those? I have here what is known as the St. Alfred's Seat of Honour. I give it out periodically. It's sort of monthly, but that's a very flexible period. I give it out to someone who has really helped, really done a good job. I want to give it out this morning to the chairman of the 40 Days of Leadership team, Darren Russ. Now, hang on. Oh, no, come on. Darren didn't know I was going to do this. What you don't notice behind the scenes is that I started thinking about this last year, and sometime or other I had a thought, could say it was an answer to prayer, where I thought Darren might be the sort of person who could chair this team. So I went and chatted to him. I knew he had a lot on his plate and he was thinking about doing some further study and all sorts of things, and we had a coffee and we chatted about it. And if Darren had said no, that would have been, you know, hard for me then to know, well, where do I go next? And because Darren said yes, it then gave me someone who was a colleague, and for about 2 or 3 months, the 40 Days of Leadership team was essentially Darren and me. That was all. And then we set about recruiting the rest of the team. As we went through 40 days, Darren has made sure everything has been organised. He's chaired our meetings, which have been about every Monday or every second Monday. He's ensured that all the team members had all the resources and support they needed. He's been very, very prayerful for you and for us, and has done a fantastic job quietly behind the scenes helping all of this happen. So Darren, on behalf of St. Alfred's, we want to give you the seat of honour and say thank you for serving St. Alfred's and God. Now, I know all this helping, this service won't stop just because we've come to the end of the 40 days of period. And the reason I know it's not going to stop is because of what I saw at the Ministry and Mission Fair a few weeks ago. The reason I know that is because at that fair there were about 60 or so ministries, opportunities to serve that were showcased, and all of those have an ongoing life. They all are avenues for everyone to be involved and to serve. And I know many of you are already doing that and will continue to do that. What's more difficult sometimes to see in terms of helping and serving is what goes on quietly and behind the scenes with people. So I want to give you a couple of examples of that I've heard about. Here's an example of quiet service from one of the small groups. Last night at our small group, we discussed ministry. We were talking about, quote, seeing a need and responding with what we have at the time, unquote. One of our members was absent, so I called to see if everything was okay. She apologised that she'd missed the meeting because she'd had to take a sick friend to hospital. We talked about it while she was doing it. And here's another story of quiet helping and caring. At the end of July, I was in pain. I had a test which indicated I had a potentially serious heart problem. My specialist needed to order a more specific test which I knew would be unpleasant. Being an anxious person, I asked a few people at St. Alfred's to pray for me so that I would have peace about the upcoming test. When the test occurred 2 weeks later, I was calm and it was nowhere near as bad as I had expected. It was another week before I could get the results from the specialist, by which time I had grown a little more apprehensive. When I went back, the specialist said that the test showed absolutely no sign of the previously indicated heart problems, and since then my symptoms have disappeared. So I not only received the peace I was asking for, but I've been healed of the original condition. What a blessing. I think that is cause for some praise, don't you? So as we've learnt, every act of service matters. Every small act of prayer and kindness and care matters. Service and ministry, helping and caring, it's all part of our reason for being here. Lastly, we've learnt, or I've learnt, is that we can't keep all of this to ourselves. God has again reminded us and challenged us about how to express our love of Him to others. And some of us here have prayed and invited people to come along to 40 Days. There are people in some groups that wouldn't call themselves Christians, but have been invited in. We have people at St. Alfred's who weren't here 12 months ago for all sorts of reasons. And we have people who are thinking about God now because you've expressed something about God's truth to them and invited them to think. Some of you here today may still be feeling like you're not sure what you believe and you're not sure who God is and who Jesus is. And I want to say to you, that's fine. You're very welcome to stay and ask your questions. We want to keep trying to help you. And perhaps you might like to join another friendly small group next term. We want to thank God for how He's brought people to St. Alfred's during this period. Certainly we have prayed and we have planned and we have worked, but ultimately it's God's business what happens inside people. Just let me remind you of how the Apostle Paul describes this when he's thinking about the potential for rivalry when you think, who actually achieved this ministry? He talks about it like this. He says, well, I planted the seed, and he's talking about the seed of the gospel. Apollos, another Christian leader, he watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. So God is at work, and we've been privileged to be fellow workers with God. He allows us to be part of this sharing of the good news about Jesus, and we've certainly planted some seeds of the gospel by telling people about Jesus, and we keep trying to encourage them to find out about God. We can't keep this to ourselves. So let me summarize. What have we learnt? We've learnt that it's all about God. That's worship, in other words. We've learnt that we like eating together. That's just a nice way of talking about fellowship. We've learnt that spiritual growth takes effort and that discipleship is a lifelong process. We've learnt that Christians help other people. That's ministry in all its forms. We've learnt that we can't keep this to ourselves. That's mission here and elsewhere.